This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So Cam Newton has been cut from the New England Patriots. First reported by the Boston Globe. As Raj wrote, Cam Newton has B cut. Left out an E and an N. Cam Newton will now hit free agency, and he'll likely have offers from other teams looking for a veteran quarterback, but he won't have much time to learn a new offense as he heads to his third NFL team now. Mac Jones is a starter. Brian Hoyer is the backup. What does this mean for Cam? They're a team that needs him? Was not being vaccinated a factor here? Let's go through this one at a time. What does this mean for Cam? Bill Belichick obviously loved Cam. All reports say that. His body language tells you that. Like throughout last year, everything he said in the press about Cam tells you Bill Belichick admires him and appreciates him. His leadership, his work ethic, his competitiveness, right? Probably why you cut him. I'll give him a shot to go somewhere else. And also maybe Cam casts a shadow. You know, always constantly, if any little hiccup happens with Mac Jones, well, Cam Newton's right there. What does it mean for Cam? I really think he's maybe physically never gotten back. And I don't mean, oh, there's just kind of basic wear and tear. I'm talking about the shoulder injury. His throwing has never been, he was never overly consistent anyway. But as I said, when he got hurt, he was completing almost 70% of his passes for a 6-2 team. And since then, it's been a struggle for him. I don't know if the shoulder's all the way right. Maybe not. What does it mean for Cam? He better get right physically. And if he does, I think he can still succeed on an NFL level. Is there a team that needs him? Well, the Washington football team is starting Fitzpatrick. And Fitzmagic, it can have like magical streaks of 3-4 games where he's lighting it up, followed by games where he turns the ball over and loses games. He's been in the league a long time, and Fitzpatrick is not a franchise quarterback. He's a sometimes starter, sometimes super backup. He's hard to do better than Fitzpatrick as a backup. That's a hell of a backup. And because he's starting caliber, starter quality. But Washington, if they had a quarterback you really believed in, they got a great, maybe they have the best defense in football. In fact, if someone made me choose, I'd take Washington's defense number one in the game. Ahead of Pittsburgh, ahead of Denver, I'd take Washington one, number one overall. So with that kind of defense, if you can get a little more from your quarterback than Fitzpatrick, maybe you can really get something done. Could that be Cam Newton? Well, Ron Rivera already passed on him. His old coach passed on him. But if Cam Newton gets right, would he improve Washington? Or Denver? Or my thought is, if Miami, look, Houston, when Deshaun Watson first started making noise, he wanted a trade. It's ironic because his image was so squeaky clean and so good that I mentioned on First Take many times, look, if you're beefing with Deshaun Watson and you're a team, no one's looking at Deshaun Watson. They're looking at you based on his reputation. Since then, over 20 massage therapists he met on Instagram, allegedly, have alleged harassment. Over 20. He might not be on the field for a while. And now his trade value's diminished. So I always thought Miami would be a good destination for Deshaun Watson because he'd want to play there. Why not? Warm weather, glamour market, national team, like ever since the undefeated season and Dan Marino. Like, you know, Miami has the Dolphins have a national following. They're one of those teams. Guys, like a lot of people out of market like the Dolphins, waiting for them to be good. So it's set up for Deshaun, and unlike most scenarios, remember, like, maybe the Jets, maybe this one, maybe that one could trade for him back then, like a year ago. Unlike those scenarios, Miami had all these draft picks because they made shrewd trades. So they were excellent, and they had draft capital to go get him. Well, now Deshaun's a little less valuable, right? Because we don't know when he's going to get on the field. You're going to get less for him in a trade. But Miami still has Tua and multiple picks coming up. So if they were to trade Tua and some stuff for Deshaun Watson, which all of a sudden you'd look at Miami and go, oh, wait a minute. Once he got back on the field, uh-oh, it's on in the AFC East. It's on in the AFC with Deshaun Watson on that Miami team with that defense. And now Jalen Waddle. So that would mean Tua would go to the Texans. So the Texans wouldn't need a quarterback. Tua, I think, is a good young quarterback. Has a chance to be good. But what about Miami? If Deshaun Watson doesn't get on the field for a while, aren't they going to need a quarterback? So there's a place maybe Cam would make some sense. Why not? Maybe in the same division as the Patriots, who just cut him. They're a team that needs him. By the way, was not being vaccinated a factor for Cam losing the job? I'll just point out, Cam Newton, I will say it again, when he was last healthy in Carolina with Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator, he was 6-2 with an almost 70% completion percentage. Then he hurt his shoulder. And the next time you see him on the field, mostly healthy, is with the Patriots, brand new team. And it's in a COVID year, so he had no preseason or practice with his new teammates. And it's for a very different kind of coach in Bill Belichick, in a different system. And 9 guys on the defense, including their stars, opted out because of COVID. And they had no offensive weapons. Josh McDaniels liked those tight ends. No tight ends on that team. No pass catcher and tight ends on that team, right? Not to mention no receivers, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, 2 plays away from 9-7. And then this year, he looked pretty good in the preseason to me, I'll tell you that much. Game 2, I thought the best I'd seen from him or Mac Jones was game 2 of this preseason by Cam Newton. And then he had to go through COVID protocols just when things seemed to be breaking his way. He seemed, in my view, to have a lead on Mac Jones for the starting spot. And all of a sudden, COVID protocols. And then wait, COVID protocols? Who has to go through those? Turns out the protocols he went through are only for unvaccinated players, and Cam won't publicly say whether he's been vaccinated. He said it's a private issue. In fact, we're in a public health crisis. This is a public concern. He claims it's a private issue. Okay, I know there are HIPAA laws. I mean, you know, you should, if you don't want to tell people what's going on with you medically, you don't have to. But I think it's a weak excuse, private issue. Then he goes through the protocols. It means he hasn't been vaccinated. That's what I'm inferring from that. I don't know what other inference you can make. And Bill Belichick said at that moment that it does provide Mac Jones with additional opportunity. Remember, Mac Jones is taking his reps with the 2s and the 3s. Like, Cam was getting the starter reps early on. And then Mac Jones, that door was open, and he walked right through it. It's not just that Cam left the door open. It's that Mac Jones seized the day. Who looked better than him in preseason among the rookie quarterbacks? You want to say Zach Wilson? Justin Fields? They both looked very good. Trey Lance looked up and down, and Trevor Lawrence struggled, although not as bad as Gardner Minshew, who's a veteran guy who can play. So it tells you about the offensive line in Jacksonville and the coaching right now. But no one looked better than Mac Jones by the end, if you include the practices and joint practices and all that stuff. So, yep, Cam's being unvaccinated left the door open, and Mac Jones walked through it and took the job. And can you be a backup quarterback if they think you may have to go through protocols again or maybe wind up with Delta or whatever? I guess not, right? Backup quarterback's got to be available. What happened? Cam, why aren't you playing? You're not hurt. You haven't been playing. Oh, COVID protocols. You can't really have that from a backup. By the way, this preseason, Cam threw 162 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 67% completion percentage. Mac Jones threw for 389 yards, got more time. 1 touchdown, no interception, 69% completion percentage. And if you looked at the yards through the air and everything, they were pretty similar. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. Dan, on the Goodyear hotline. Dan, what's your reaction to Cam being released by the Pats?
Honestly, I was not as stunned as a lot of people seem to be. Like, this is, if he wasn't going to be the starter, one of my questions, and, you know, we were doing a show meeting yesterday before Get Up, and we're talking about ideas around this story. And one of the questions I had was, you know, do we want to talk about what happens to Cam if Mac Jones wins the job? Because I don't think they're going to want to keep him around as a backup. I don't think he's going to want to stay around as the backup. And you wonder if he goes elsewhere or if he's just done. So, I was not surprised that the decision to start Mac Jones came with this collateral consequence, if you will. I think that I would have been shocked if he had stayed on to be the backup and if that had been the Patriots' preferred situation.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dan, what I survey the landscape. I see a pot. If the Texans come down off their ask and there's a Tua and stuff for Watson trade, and Watson can't get back on the field, it would seem they would need a quarterback in Miami, same division. Mm-hmm. His old coach, Ron Rivera, had a lot of success with him. If Fitzpatrick is your quarterback, it means you don't have a franchise quarterback. Maybe Washington, maybe backing up in a place like Pittsburgh. Where do you see the most logical place for Cam to wind up?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I mean, if Houston's not always sold on Tyrod Taylor, the problem is, you know, you're at a point in the offseason where it's tough. I mean, they bring somebody in teaching the system. He's going to have to be a backup for at least part of the year while he gets up to speed. Now, is that necessarily true in Miami, which probably has a lot of similarities to what New England does because of the connections of the coaching staff? Maybe. But I don't – if he wants to be a starter, I think you're – I mean, that's an interesting idea that there could be a starting position open up. I personally am skeptical that any kind of Deshaun Watson trade happens anytime soon, but it's not impossible. That could be that kind of situation. But even then, you know, it's temporary. So – I don't know. I don't see an obvious landing spot for him. And I don't.
When you say that, just to interrupt you for a second, Dan. Yeah. When you say an obvious landing spot, you mean as a starter, as a backup,
or either? Well, I'm operating from the perspective that I think he wants to be a starter. Mm-hmm. What I was told last offseason when he was looking for a team was he doesn't want to go somewhere and be a backup, and that he doesn't have to. Right? I mean, he's made his money, so. If he doesn't have an opportunity to start, I wonder if he sits and waits or if he just says that's it. And I don't, again, I don't want people to get twisted. I am not rooting for that. I'm as big a Cam Newton fan as there, like I he's one of my favorite players to watch play ever. So I don't want to say it's done for Cam, but it could be. He's certainly not the player he was 3 or 4 years
ago. Okay, I want to stop you right there, Dan. When you say he's not the player he was 3 or 4 years ago, maybe he doesn't run as well as he used to. But what I'm curious about, because he can still run, and he's still a big, strong guy. Now, not only does he not run as well, but the league runs much better. So his relative value running is not what it once was, and that was a big part of his game. But when he got hurt against Pittsburgh, the Panthers, who did not have a very good team, were 6-2. And Cam was completing about 70% of his passes under Norv Turner as his OC. And we haven't seen that guy since then. How much of that is new circumstances with the Patriots and COVID last year and all this? And how much of it is his shoulder's just not the same since he hurt it?
Yeah, I mean, look, he went through something with his shoulder. He went through something with his foot. Injuries accumulate, and they have a cumulative effect. You know, oftentimes you talk about guys not being able to run anymore and people will cite their 40 times from the combine 5, 6, 7 years earlier. It's like, no, guys had two leg injuries. Like, he's probably slower now. Like, even though he's healed from those injuries, that doesn't mean he's exactly the same as he used to be. So I do think, you know, with Cam, you see somebody who has been worn down by the years he's spent in the league. And they've been hard years physically. We know he's been hit more than any other quarterback, right? So I don't think it's insulting to Cam Newton to say that he is not the player he was a couple of years ago.
Dan Graziano, ESPN Insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dan, I want to focus on Mac Jones now, and I have a theory. I want to see what you think about it. Once upon a time in the NBA, a lot of mistakes were made drafting players because since basketball selects out for height, you know, baskets 10 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Height was easy to project into the pros. And so a lot of times taller players who weren't necessarily even better in college, right? But they would go before guards and wings and you know, smaller players, even if that they weren't as talented. And that started to turn around in the NBA because, like, you know, you could see how often that turned out to be a mistake. The NFL, after years of, and I think it was racially motivated, whether they realized it or not, a lot of the people kind of like doing this, you know, you can't have a running quarterback. You can't have a running quarterback. Why not? Well, because the temptation to always get that first down with your legs when it's available will lead to less kind of pocket awareness, and you won't get a good enough pocket passer, etc. Instead of looking at like, oh, you can do more things. That makes you a better player. Now the pendulum may have swung so far in the other direction because we see dual threat quarterbacks everywhere that when you're not a dual threat player, you're not projected to be as good in the pros as you may have been in college. Mac Jones was as good as anybody in college in recent years, right? Like, look at the number one picks. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. He was on that level as a 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, led the league in completion percentage, won a national title, all those things. But he was projected not as high as those guys. He went 15th, last in the first round of the top 5 guys, because he's not a dual threat quarterback. Has the pendulum swung too far now in the other direction?
I certainly think that that happened to Mac Jones, right? That it swung too far for him. Now, had he not been in a draft with, you know, Justin Fields and Trey Lance, you know, maybe he goes higher than 15, right? But there was definitely a sense of, look, there are still NFL talent evaluators, NFL quarterback evaluators who will swear to you, if you can't beat me from the pocket, you're not going to last. It's not going to work. And so if you're going to run, that has to be something you do in addition to being.
I think that's consensus. I mean, who doesn't think that? Yeah, you got to be able to do stuff from the pocket.
But the idea was if all you can do is beat me from the pocket, that then you're not as valuable as someone who can also get out and run and beat me with his legs. And I think that I think you're onto something. I think that did happen this year, to the point where those guys and Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence might all turn out to be better than Mac Jones. But that does not mean Mac Jones is lousy. And I think that, you know, the pre-draft process is unkind to these guys, and sometimes things go too far. And I think there was a perception that Mac Jones slipped and the public perception of him was not necessarily accurate. So good for the Patriots, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, listen, running is something that's measurable. Decision-making is harder to measure, right? Like, if you have the requisite arm strength and accuracy, then you must have that, and he has that. Then the most important thing you can do, other than lead, is make quick decisions, make the best decisions the quickest. And he may be that guy in this draft.
Right. And look, and the other thing is, like, you know, guys coming out of Alabama, right? He's throwing to Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, and Najee Harris is his running back, and there's 5 first-rounders on the offensive line in front of him. Like, we're going to bring him in and put him on a maybe not a very good team. Is he going to be that same player? Whereas, you're right, if it's someone who can run, hey, he could run. That's not going to change, right? But if he can't hit the tight window throw, which he's never had to because he's at Alabama and those guys get wide open, then we have a problem. But this guy obviously can.
Appreciate you, Dan. Thanks for joining me today. Always good talking to you.
Sure thing, Max. Take care.
This is the Max Kellerman Show. That was Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider on the Goodyear Hotline. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Can Mac Jones lead the Pats to the playoffs? My AFC East preview is next. 5G is here, but the big carriers, they want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Not anymore. Because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required, actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
The beginning of the season, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Mike Greenberg, and I'm ready.
This is Mina Kimes, and you know my Seahawks are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Texas A&M Aggies are ready.
This is Ryan McGee, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Oh, you know, I love me some Zeppelin. think Mac Jones can lift the Pats over the Bills in the AFC East? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Capital One Auto Navigator, where you can find a car, get pre-qualified instantly, and see your real monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
The Camless AFC East Preview.
Yes, the Camless AFC East Preview, at least for now. We'll see if he winds up on one of these teams. At number four,
the New York Jets.
The Jets are the most interesting team in the division long term, I think, because Zach Wilson, I thought, was special since I started watching him on YouTube after I heard about him after the college football season ended. You know, the guy is special. And what a move by the Jets to draft Vera Tucker, who might be able to play tackle in the NFL, but you would assume could be a Pro Bowl-level guard. Becton and Vera Tucker on the left side, both so young, with Zach Wilson at quarterback. I mean, what a way that's how you build a franchise. Oh, who are the skills position guys? Never mind that. You got your coach, Saleh, check. You got your quarterback, Zach Wilson, check. And you want to build your offensive line. Left tackle, left guard, check, check. I mean, what a start. But they're a long way from winning a lot of games. So while they have a very bright future, and they're a very interesting young team to watch, they are the fourth best team in the AFC East. At number three,
the Miami Dolphins.
This was not easy for me between the Dolphins and the Patriots, but let me tell you why I have the Dolphins third. And I think the AFC East is weirdly a division where three teams could make the playoffs. It's possible. At least all three of the following three teams can compete. I took Miami third instead of the Patriots third because Tua, by the way, looked pretty good in game two of the preseason. He didn't look so good in game one, looked pretty good in game two, made some nice passes. Miami doesn't have a lot of offensive talent. Jalen Waddle should really help there. But otherwise, I don't expect this to be a great offense. So you have a young, developing quarterback still coming off not such a great first year, who could still be a good quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's an accurate passer. And a dynamic offensive weapon in Waddle. And a really good defense. I just don't think the offense will be good enough, consistently enough, to put them at number two in the division, especially when what just happened with, at number two,
the New England Patriots.
Mac Jones was really impressive in these preseason. Like, forget about Cam for a second. Mac Jones was impressive. He was one of the most impressive rookie quarterbacks. And I said after one preseason game, oh my God, this could wind up being the greatest quarterback class ever. I don't know if there's an Elway, a Marino, Jim Kelly at the very top. I don't know. But I think there are five guys who could be long-term starters in the NFL. And it's kind of impressive after week one. And when you look at all the quarterbacks, there were three of them. Like, Trevor Lawrence struggled at times, processing stuff, it seemed to me, although not as bad as Gardner Minshew, who was, good quarterback in the NFL, solid backup for sure, and even a starter sometimes. And Trevor Lawrence at least did better than him, but that offensive line's brutal, and Trevor Lawrence didn't look great. And Trey Lance looked spectacular at times, but up and down, because people thought he was more of a long-term project with very high upside. Justin Fields looked excellent at times, really like a superstar in the future, in the not-too-distant future. Zach Wilson, the same thing. Did anyone look better than Mac Jones by the end of it? And he has an offensive line, and he has tight ends, and he's got new receivers. The Patriots got receivers, spent some money there, and some depth they have there now. They can run the ball. They got a lot on offense now all of a sudden. And defensively, they should be really, really good. They got all the defections, like all the COVID defections. Defections, I said. That's over now. They got a defense again. So I like the Pats 3. I like the Pats at number 2 in the divisions, the Dolphins 3, and the Jets 4. And Raj, by the process of logical deduction, since there are only four teams in the AFC East, that leaves at number 1.
The Buffalo Bills.
Bills are good. Bills have a great receiver. They have a great quarterback in his prime, entering his prime, or a very, very good quarterback. He has to just do it consistently now. Will he? Because Josh Allen has never been an above average accuracy, you know, passer accuracy wise as a college player or a pro. And now last season he was. Can he maintain that? If he can, Bills are going to be tough to beat in the AFC East because they can score a lot of points and they can defend too. And when you look at the AFC just generally, what do you need to go up against the Chiefs? You're going to have to put points on the board. Josh Allen can do that. The Bills are the class of the AFC. Now, if Mac Jones was in year two or three, I might like the Patriots here, but he's not. And Josh Allen went from, like, every year, he takes a big step forward. One-to-one touchdown-to-interception ratio, like, you know, 60% completion or 50%. Next year, it's 2-to-1 touchdown-to-interception, 60%. Next year, last year, it was 3-to-1, 70%. You know, the QBR jumps up every year. His team gets better every year. They're live in the AFC, the Bills, and they are the class of a suddenly very interesting division. You know what's interesting to me? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's whole career in the AFC East, there were never any quarterbacks there. Like, never. The best quarterback Tom Brady had to consistently compete against when the Jets had Chad Pennington, who had a wet noodle for an arm and couldn't stay healthy, but in every other respect was a great quarterback. Like, Chad Pennington was really good, but he couldn't, you know, not a big arm, and then he had an abbreviated career. That was it. He never faced, like, it was like the worst era for quarterbacks in a division ever over a 20-year period. So all the Patriots had to do every year, because they would win the division every year, is win one home game in the playoffs. And if they could win one home game in the playoffs, they were in the AFC championship game. And you go from that, suddenly you look at the AFC East, and it's Josh Allen, and either Tua or, like, is it going to wind up being Deshaun Watson? And Mac Jones, and all of a sudden the future of the AFC quarterbacks looks really, really bright. And the worst team in the division by far are the Jets, simply because they're not as far along in their rebuilding process as some of the other teams. But the Jets' future looks bright. The AFC East is, it's like sneakily a real brutal division right now. You got three teams going to slug it out all season. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up, last take is your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you're just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO to get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80. Got a spot for you to get in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Very superstitious. Stevie. Superstition. God, Stevie had so many great songs. Is this? Are you playing this for Cam Newton? Not getting vaccinated and all that? What is going on, Roger?
We're just showing you some love, playing some of your same favorite cuts. And if I remember correctly, Stevie is one of your all-time favorites.
How did you know? I can't believe you remembered that. That's right. Love me some Stevie.
Yeah, you do.
You know what it is? Stevie Wonder, Led Zeppelin, Wu-Tang, whatever. Like, you look at these guys with catalogs where you're like, damn, it's hard to get, like, what's one of their top 20 songs? There's so many of them. How do you get into the top 20? 30 for 30 podcasts and The Undefeated presents The King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. Hear DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins, among others, explore the realities of life as black men in America, Nipsey's dedication to South L.A. and his community, and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues. The King of Crenshaw. Binge all four episodes now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. By the way, real quick, I've told this story twice. I'm going to tell it again. when I started radio in L.A., before Marcellus joined me, I'm Max and Marcellus, it's just the Max Kellerman Show in L.A., I was going to play Nipsey Hussle in and out of every break because I get to L.A. from New York and I thought, let me find an artist to play on the show who's from L.A., from the area, who people aren't up on yet. And Nipsey was just starting to really get a name, and he had two very kind of pop hit type songs, like, you know, songs I knew would be catchy on the radio. One was Feeling Myself, the other was Keys to the City. So I'm like, let me play these songs, which, you know, I got the Keys to the City, self-explanatory, I'm feeling myself, you know. It was perfect for me on the radio. So I said, I'm going to keep playing these until Nipsey calls the show. Because years ago, there's a DJ, radio DJ, who said he was going to keep playing Frank Sinatra until Sinatra called the show. Of course, Sinatra let him play Sinatra for months before he called the show. Got all the free publicity, right? So I'd do the same thing with Nipsey, I thought. So I played Nipsey coming in and out of every break, and by like day two, he called the show. And I was like, Nipsey, what are you doing? I was going to play Nipsey Hussle for months until you called. And he told me that his manager told him the same thing, don't call, but he figured he'd call. Nice dude, and he really did have a big cultural impact, Nipsey Hussle, the late, great Nipsey Hussle. All right, I'm going to get to more on Cam, maybe. Let's get to some callers. I keep saying I'm going to get to the callers, and then I don't. Chris in New Orleans, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
And now, Chris in New Orleans, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, no less. Go ahead.
I just wanted to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to call and ask for someone at ESPN to put some respect on the Dolphins' name.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned they don't have any top offensive weapons, but Mike Gesicki's at least a top 10 tight end. They've got Will Fuller. They've got Devontae Parker. Albert Wilson, who everyone has seemed to have forgotten about, on top of Jalen Waddle.
Waddle makes a big difference there, but they had some of these guys last year, and it was not an overwhelming offense. I would say, like, put it this way. Do you think Miami's top half or bottom half of the league offense?
I believe this year they're going to be top half after getting rid of Cam Cameron. Also, you had Tua coming off a major injury with no offseason.
It's possible.
Different Miami Dolphins offense.
Especially with a guy like Waddle, right? Like, Tua doesn't have the strongest arm, but it's accurate. But especially with a guy like Waddle, it's possible that you can take a guy like Tua, give him a Waddle, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, that's a bunch of extra touchdowns. If they move into the top half of the league offensively, that's a move they're making. They're going from where they are, which is not top half, to top half. Maybe they can do it. And by the way, I like the Dolphins a lot. Chris in New Orleans. I like the Dolphins. I just, if you push comes to shove, I got to put them third in a very competitive AFC East where three teams will have a chance to make the playoffs. Shammai in Connecticut, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, long time no talk. Do you think that Cam Newton's legacy is going to be ruined now that he's not a quarterback in the NFL right now?
Now that he's what?
Now he's not a quarterback in the NFL right now.
No, it's not ruined. It's just it is what it is. Like Cam was a number one overall draft pick. So was Andrew Luck the following year, right? Andrew Luck was the perfect prospect. Not until Trevor Lawrence was there a more perfect prospect than Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck had a very good NFL career. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks throughout his career. He never won an MVP. Never played in a Super Bowl. And retired, right? Cam is still playing. We'll see as a backup or a starter. He's won both an MVP and a Super Bowl. He reached heights Luck didn't reach. Now, he was inconsistent. But Cam was a phenomenon. Cam was the biggest, strongest guy who could also run and throw at a level high enough to be an elite player. You don't win the MVP unless you're an elite player. You're not voted by your peers, other NFL players, the best player in the NFL if you're not an elite player. Now, he didn't spend a lot of time as an elite player, but he did hit those heights. Now, after that, what's his legacy? He wasn't consistent enough. Big, strong guy, took a pounding, maybe didn't protect himself well enough over time, and wasn't a consistent enough passer. So far, that's if this is the end of Cam as an excellent player. Or is it the end of kind of part one of the book? He's only 32. And I will remind everyone for the umpteenth time, when last seen healthy on a team he knew, he was 6-2 with a completion percentage around 70. And then he hurt his shoulder, and then he's not on the field, then he's with a new team, and then there's COVID, no preseason, no practice, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's competing for the job with more of a prototype of what the coach wants, a first-round pick who exceeded all expectations in the preseason and throughout practice. Hopefully, Cam's not getting vaccinated and leaving the door open for someone to come in and take his job is not the last we've heard of Cam or seen of Cam as a quarterback at the top level, because I still think he's got more football in him. All right, there it was. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Shanae Ngolick Jr. coming up. The next time you hear me, it'll be on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.